Today's program is brought to you by TMS Merchant. For more information, visit tmsmerchant.com. Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to heritageradionetwork.com.
Everybody, you tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming, with my co-host, Andrew, my son, Newman, who's got pizza and he's not talking. And we got Joey G in the house doing the engineering, and we got a guest producer today walking in and out and around. His name is Jack. Jack's back. Well, I don't know for how long. We broadcast every Thursday live. We from 4:30 to 5, and we could take your calls if you have any questions or comments. We'd be happy to hear from you. You can email us at info@heritageradionetwork.com, and Joey G will take your questions, or you can call us at 718-497-2128. We'd love to chat. If you can't listen live while we're streaming every Thursday, you can get all our shows. They're archived on the website, or you can download a free podcast of Flash Talks Cash through iTunes. So there's no reason why you can't listen to us all the time, every day. All right. So our show today is It's America. So you could just work hard and make money, right? And we have a very special guest with us today. We have Mike Latham. Did I say that name right? Hi, Mike.
It's Mike Lapham. Hi, Joanne.
Lapham. And Mike is with us today because he wrote a very interesting book with a colleague of his. And the name of the book, Mike?
It's called The Self-Made Myth. Selfmademyth.org.
Okay. And he's going to tell us all about how government helps individuals and businesses make their millions instead of them making their own millions. I think that's kind of the gist of what we're going to talk about today, right?
That's good.
Okay. So, Mike, you are a little background. You are a writer. I don't think so. By career, you're not really a writer. You became one.
No, I did write a book. Co-wrote a book with a guy named Brian Miller.
Yes.
And, what do you want to know about the book?
Well, I just want to know a little bit about you. How'd you get to write the book up to this point?
I had a career in housing for a while, and then I started working for this organization called United for a Fair Economy in Boston.
Yeah.
That's faireconomy.org, if anyone wants to check it out. And we realized that we needed to start organizing wealthy people and business people, that there was a real, you know, there's plenty of a voice of greed in Congress, in the media, in boardrooms, et cetera. That voice was well represented, but the voice of people who said, you know, we don't need more inequality, we don't need more tax breaks, stuff like that, was not very well represented. So that's what we've been doing, sort of organizing the wealthy people, the sort of man bites dog story of wealthy people who say, I don't need another tax break, or I think we should have an estate tax.
Wow. So there's like a few of them out there, right? A lot of them don't feel that way, but there are some that say, I'm willing to pay more taxes, right?
Absolutely, there are.
Yeah, that's the Buffett rule.
Majority of wealthy people believe we should have a Buffett rule.
Okay, so let's talk about that since it's so timely, and we'll talk more about your book too. But
sure.
Obama's out there this week really plugging away at this Buffett rule, and you know, who knows if it's going to pass or not. Do you have any feeling on that, Mike?
They are saying the votes are not there, so it'll be a battle, you know, they'll keep up throughout the year. We were at the White House yesterday with a bunch of millionaires who all said their taxes should be higher. They had their assistants with them, and President Obama gave a press conference. I mean, I would call this is not the solution to what we need. What we need is, you know, serious tax reform, and, you know, we got a lot of things to figure out. But this should be one of the easy ones, which is to say, if you made your fortune with the help of a lot of government investment, you ought to pay something toward the maintenance of that system.
Well, you know, I agree with you, and I don't think it should be limited to just with the help of government intervention. You know, if you make a lot of money, regardless of how you got it, whether, you know, you stepped on a nail and you made $1 million or a bazillion dollars, or you worked hard, you went to school, and, you know, you developed some product and you got some credits from the government. I think that, you know, the tax rates should be higher for people who make buckets of money. But, you know, I just skimmed through the TV yesterday, and one of my favorite were on the TV last night, Karl Rove. And he's, of course, he's against the Obama Buffett rule. And he's saying that he could get more money. He could get more money if he just let the Bush tax cuts expire, then raising this tax rate with the Buffett rule. But, you know, you're saying something very important. This is the Buffett rule is only one piece of a big agenda that's got to happen.
What exactly is the Buffett rule?
Well,
throw it out there. You guys are talking about like something like someone doesn't know what the Buffett rule is.
Okay.
What is the Buffett rule?
Well, you want to tell them, Mike?
Sure. So the Buffett rule basically says if you have over $1 million of income, we're talking income, so you're a millionaire. Now that's defined as $1 million in a year of income, and you shouldn't pay less a lower percent in taxes than the average family in this country.
Yeah.
So you know they're basically saying you should pay 30% as a minimum.
So it sounds like a flat tax.
Well, I
guess it's saying that if you're a millionaire, a quarter of all the millionaires pay
15% that
pay less
gains,
than the average family.
Correct.
And then there's like a couple thousand of them who pay zero taxes.
Really?
And it doesn't make sense for you to be walking around, you know, using everything that this country provides.
Mm-hmm.
And if you built a business, you use a lot of what this country provides in terms of infrastructure and the roads and the bridges, et cetera, you know, and not pay something toward that.
So it's like a minimum tax and then escalating from there is what you're saying.
Right. All this calls for is a minimum tax, is, you know, 30%, I think, is the figure they're using. And I'm sure that, you know, first of all, it's not going to pass right away.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be exclusions and things, and people will debate about whether charitable deductions should be included, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is, you know, the folks at the top can afford to pay the most and need to.
Yes.
They're rebranding it as the Reagan rule. Also.
Oh, right.
Oh,
right.
Really?
Yeah.
Right, because Reagan proposed something very similar when he was... Obama said that yesterday. He said, we should call it the Reagan rule. If they want to call it that and pass it, great.
Because he was a Republican, so maybe they'll side with
that. Reagan was a Republican?
Yeah, Reagan was
My God. Is that a news break. We have like a news break.
Flash.
Yeah,
really.
He was a Republican.
Flash
let out a flash. Okay, so now let's talk about your book a little bit. I was reading your material. I'm very interested to read your book. And the reason why I'm so curious is because I have come to say that I like a Horatio Alger story. I came from nothing and I managed to accumulate some good amount of wealth. And I really did say it was all due to that hard work that I had performed all these years. But now you're kind of like bursting my bubble here.
Oh, no, Joanne.
All right, Mike. So tell everybody that I didn't really do this. You got to tell everybody what I know that I got help, but you're going to explain your book and explain what you're talking about.
Well, I didn't mean you, Joanne.
Yes,
I just mean these other. No, I mean this book is full of stories of people who, you know, here's the self-made myth is that one person does it all. They get up earlier, work harder, and they're responsible for all the success of a company. And you know, in the words of Ayn Rand, you know, they're basically holding up the earth. These mythical job creator, you know, heroes, and no one else helped. No one, you know, forget about all the things that government does to create stable markets, to, you know, invest in education, research, and all those things. Forget about all that. It's that one guy with that, you know, occasionally woman in the myth, you know, that does all the work. And if you believe that, then you're likely to say we should take government off his or her back and, you know, cut government as much as possible and cut taxes on that person. And then it gets even worse because we call anyone who's rich a job creator. And, you know, small business people are not rich.
Yes.
Anyone who's a small business person who's listening will say, I'm not rich. What's rich are the CEOs of those large corporations.
Oh, yes,
and, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a disconnect here.
Yes.
And we're saying that we cannot raise taxes on the wealthy. And that's just bunk. You know, it's just not true.
Well, we need to, as you say in your book, we need to support the people to get to that level of wealth or every level of success, right? We need to provide roads. We need to provide schools. We need to have tax credits for research and development. We need to have all those things. And how are we going to pay for those things if we don't tax the people who could afford it?
The same stuff that got, you know, this book, and people can look at selfmademyth.org. They can look at profiles of all the people in the book. They can see our infographics and so forth. But there's people in this book, you know, who describe that their success. Martin Rothenberg grew up in Syracuse, New York. Actually started in Brooklyn.
Yes.
And went to the public library and took all the electronics books out and read them cover to cover, and learned about electronics, went to public high school, went to school on the GI Bill, went to graduate school, paid for by, you know, the government, and, you know, he has publicly educated employees. He totally gets that. He's a smart guy, and he, you know, but his success is because of investment in him and in his employees that make it possible.
Right. So
and
now,
the book is full of those.
So now, do people actually believe that the world spins around them and they're the most successful people, and on account of their success, they're holding up the whole world, and they don't have anybody to credit but themselves? There really are people who think that way.
Well, I think that there are. It's something that we talk about in this country currently. I mean, the myth has been, you know, the Ayn Rand story of those mythical job creators. But these days you hear people saying the job creators, we can't tax the job creators, we can't, you know, that and the idea that we can't raise taxes, Martin Rothenberg, that same guy, says in 25 years on the management committee of his company, no one ever mentioned taxes. No one ever said, are we going to make this investment or build this product based on what the tax rate is? And I hang out with business leaders all the time, and they will tell you that's not how we make business decisions. We make them based on, is there a market? And we need a strong middle class, and we need, you know, somewhere to sell my product.
You know that line, the job creators, I never bought into that. Frankly, you know, I do tax returns, and some of the people I do tax returns for are pretty wealthy. And I got to tell you, when wealthy people earn more money, you know what they do with that more money? They put it in their investment accounts.
Well, that's reinvesting in the economy.
That's not
so. Why are you limiting people from reinvesting in the economy and expanding the economy?
They grow their investment accounts.
They grow the economy.
They're not expanding
when
and making jobs.
When you invest in a stock, that's giving them the company money.
Do you think that that's
and then
job
they can grow.
Creation?
And then they can sit around their boardroom and say, we need to create more projects because we have an influx of capital. And then you create more money. You don't worry about taxes on income because you're making the money already as a company. So you don't worry about the taxes after you already make the money.
No, we're not talking about. I'm just talking
what I'm
about
saying,
taking
like that. So by those guys taking their savings and reinvesting it in stock markets and other companies, they then grow the economy of the country.
I'm not
small businesses
it.
Come and go constantly, and you know what? Very few succeed long term enough, and those are the smartest ones who do need then get reinvested in, and then they get the tax breaks, and then they move forward that way. I don't
actually
know what
the best way if you want to grow the economy. You know, economists will tell you that if you put money in the hands of wealthy people, they're likely to save it.
That's right.
If you put money in the hands of, if you want to give tax cuts, you give it to the people at the low end, who by definition, the lower middle class folks, every dollar that comes into their pockets goes out the door by the end of the year. They're spending it on rent, clothing, food, their car, etc. That's the way. And you know, the stimulus that we did as a country, you know, actually government is a very efficient way. You know, government spending is a very efficient way to stimulate the economy. We didn't do enough of it. One of our members, a guy named David Levine, was down in Washington D.C. today talking about this, and you know, he said my taxes should be higher. You know, it doesn't make sense. And yesterday there were all these millionaires who are paying a lower rate than their secretaries, than their assistants, and they were all saying, you know, we can not only afford to, but we should pay a higher rate.
Well, that money was already taxed, though.
Yeah.
The income tax, you're taxed on the income in the first place, and then you invest the money, and then why should you be taxed twice on the same money?
No.
You're taxed on the income you make
initially.
From your...
But you're also...
from that... but asset appreciating.
But you're putting money into the economy.
I mean, why should we tax capital gains? Someone invests their money, and the price of something goes up double. Why should we tax the money they make from that at half the rate that we tax someone who's out there working for a living? So it's just, it's backwards. It doesn't make any sense.
You want people to reinvest in the economy. And buying stocks is reinvesting in large companies, which then create most of the jobs.
But that's not really dribbling down to everybody in America. Hey, Mike, let's take a one-minute break. We'll be back, and we're going to continue this discussion, a lively discussion. We'll be right back.
You ready? It's Paul Couture and Ludacris. Oh! But you might know me better as...
Paul C. Bitch, get off me. Hey, yeah.
I'm talking eight figures. Ain't talking simple cash. I'm a self-made millionaire. I'm talking eight figures. Ain't talking simple cash. I'm a self-made millionaire.
Rolex assets, new cars, fast jets, a boulevard with superstars, and you ain't seen the half yet. $30,000 baller, can you get approved? 'Cause your girl look like she wanna see the world, and I'm the dude. They take it from.
This program is sponsored by Tri-State Merchant Services. If you are a business owner, then you are processing credit or debit cards and checks. Providers for these services can be large, faceless companies who take your business for granted. But at Tri-State Merchant Services, your satisfaction is our priority, and we strive to earn your business every day. We offer more than just credit card processing. We provide valuable insight, solutions, and practical tools for streamlining your business. What's more, while we have the manpower of the leading processors, we never lose sight of the fact that every business starts small and that together we can do big things. At Tri-State Merchant Services, we believe in working with local businesses to strengthen our community. A strong community builds a strong economy. Check out our partner referral program and all of our services at tmsmerchant.com.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. Today we're on the show. We have Mike Latham.
Lapham.
It's Lapham.
Yeah. Lapham. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike.
You said
I'm sorry. Okay.
Oh, Lainey.
And we're talking about the self-made millionaire. And Mike says he thinks it's a myth. I'm beginning to understand why he says that. And now I have some more questions for you. So you're a firm believer in a progressive tax structure.
What about shrinking government to reduce costs?
Well, see, that God, Mike, you're going to tell him why shrinking government is not going to help this economy or America.
The reality is we need to invest in the kinds of things that made these entrepreneurs successful. I mean, you build a business. Some of it's hard work, creativity, leadership. Some of it is just plain old luck. Some of it is your timing. Were you in the right place at the right time? There's various factors that are beyond your control. A lot of other people helped along the way. But then let's look at what does government provide? Government provides public education for the entrepreneur, for their employees.
Right.
Government provides investment in opportunities, Pell Grants, GI Bill, small business loans, etc. Government provides research on things that no one else would be invested. The private sector would not. The government does the research, and then they go into the private sector and develop them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the infrastructure, the transportation that make it possible to get these goods all around the country, the regulations to ensure that there's a level playing field for everybody, the rules of the road that everyone can rely on.
Mm-hmm.
Business takes that for granted. The courts, the copyrights, all of that stuff is stuff, and we're not investing in that. And if we want to have a positive future, if we want to have opportunity for more people to build businesses and succeed and move out of poverty and move out of the middle class, etc., we have to invest in that opportunity. And we're not, because we're saying we're too poor as a country. We're saying, Paul Ryan is saying, we're going to cut taxes on the rich more, and then we're going to cut the hell out of the budget,
mm-hmm.
because we can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is we're giving huge tax cuts to wealthy people who don't need them,
mm-hmm.
and then we're saying we're too poor as a country to pay for public transportation or to pay for good schools in our communities, for parks.
But what if you're not utilizing these?
Stuff.
You're not utilizing
it's a
these
load
things.
Of bunk.
You're not utilizing these tools. These rich people are not utilizing these things. They're only for the poor. So the rich are supporting the poor, is what you're saying, and we have this large government to keep the masses at bay.
No, right. That's not what I'm saying. Actually, the rich are utilizing all these things. If
how
you
so?
Own a business, you're benefiting from that public education. You're benefiting right. from that infrastructure and transportation. The bigger your company is,
yes.
the more you benefit from all those things, and the more you should be paying toward the upkeep of all that. I don't think anyone can really disagree. When people take an honest look at government's role in creating a fertile business ground, then they're going to see that there's a lot of government support of business.
That's right.
No one likes to pay taxes. Mm-hmm. Let's be clear about that. No one wants to pay more taxes. But if we're going to tax people, we need to tax the people who have. It's the Willie Sutton principle.
Right.
Why did he rob banks? Because that's where the money is.
Right.
Wealthy people make a hell of a lot of money in this country. In 2010 alone, the 93% of the new income went to the top 1%.
Right. But Mike,
and 7% went to the other 99%.
Mike, I agree with you, and I think a lot of people will agree with you. We have to invest in our country, and all those things that you just talked about to help our country grow. But we don't have the kind of money because we're so in debt with the Medicare program and the Social Security program, and there's not enough money to go around to all these other programs. And how much is enough as far as raising taxes? How far do we have to go? We're paying a lot of money now in interest and programs that aren't really...
We're taking care of people.
We're saying that we don't have enough because we gave the Bush tax cuts. George Bush was looking at a $5 trillion 10-year surplus. He gave about half of that away in tax cuts.
Right.
The other half went to wars and various other things.
Right.
Obama came into office. He's kept those tax cuts in place. We have impoverished the government artificially. We don't need there is money. The wealthy people in this country are doing very, very well.
Yes.
Part of the reason why we wrote the Self-Made Myth, why we wrote this book, selfmademyth.org for people who want to read about it online, is because we need to change that behavior. We need to stop saying we got to coddle the rich and keep taxes low on wealthy folks.
Okay.
Just not true.
Okay, so then where do we go from here? You have a plan. It's called the Responsible Wealth Project. What is that about?
Well, what we've been doing for about 15 years with Responsible Wealth, it's a project of United for a Fair Economy, and we've been having wealthy people and business people use their voice in a surprising way to say, for example, I'm wealthy, but I believe we should have an estate tax. Mm-hmm. Bill Gates' father, Bill Gates Sr.,
mm-hmm.
Ted Turner, George Soros, a whole bunch of other people have signed on to our call to preserve the estate tax, and we're still working on that now.
Okay.
At faireconomy.org/open-letter, people can see the letter that we're sending to Congress right now saying we need to have a strong estate tax. We need to roll back those upper tier Bush tax cuts.
Right.
We need to treat capital gains as ordinary income, and we need to close a lot of corporate loopholes.
Well,
and those things would go a long way
right.
toward funding the type of stuff that will invest in the future in our country.
Then you have another thing called the Built Together Reality. Explain what that means.
Well, that's just basically, a placeholder in a way. We've got the myth, and the reality is anyone who built a business in this country did it with a lot of help from a lot of people
right.
and all these ways that government invested that made it possible. So, we're actually open to other names for what you would call it, but the basic idea is, the reality is, we need to be investing in these types of things that make business success possible, not disinvesting, which we are currently
yes.
saying we have to do.
Yes. So what is the purpose? I know you wrote a book and you want to go out there and promote your book, but what do you ultimately want to accomplish with this? Are you like a lobbyist?
We're not trying to sell books, that's for sure. But
well, it won't hurt, right?
We'll sell a few. I hope
right.
people will buy it and
yes.
read it. Mostly what we want to do is change a conversation and start the conversation and say, when you hear someone talking about that self-made man, or when you hear them talk about the job creators and why we have to keep taxes on them low, we want people to understand and be able to say, no,
right,
it's not true.
Right.
You know, the reality is government invests and does a lot of things that make business possible,
right,
and change the conversation. And frankly, we cannot continue on this course that we're on as a country.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot continue to cut the government to the point where there's nothing left. You look around you and look at the people who rely, your mom who gets Medicare,
right,
your neighbor who gets services because she's handicapped,
right,
the person who takes the bus, public bus to
right,
school,
mm-hmm,
who, and on and on, daycare, health care. And if we follow Paul Ryan's prescription, he wants to cut basically everything out but defense and give more tax cuts to the rich. We can't continue on that path, so we need people to become activists and say,
mm-hmm,
yes, we do need to raise taxes on upper-income folks. It's long since time. In New York State, back in 2009, you may recall, 100 wealthy people organized by Responsible Wealth signed a letter to the governor and the legislature and mm-hmm, said, tax us more. You got a $20 billion deficit. You need to tax us because we want to live in a better state than one that has all its services,
cut,
slashed.
Right. And so Cuomo accommodated them, right?
Pardon me?
So Cuomo accommodated them, didn't he?
They passed a surcharge for
right,
a couple of years, and
right,
then last year they renewed it again.
That's
we wrote
right,
another letter.
Uh-huh.
And so,
uh-huh,
but no one was saying it until these wealthy people.
Right.
So if someone's listening out there,
yeah,
and you're in the top 5%, join Responsible Wealth, use your voice,
right,
and say, it's time for us to... Abigail Disney was with us in D.C. She's from New York. She was with us with the president yesterday in his press conference. She said, I was never asked to sacrifice. In all these wars, with all the stuff that's going on, no one asked me as a wealthy person. There's people coming back missing limbs and
yes,
mentally ill, etc.
Yes. Uh-huh.
No one asked me, one of the wealthiest people in this country,
yes,
to sacrifice. No one asked.
So,
and she said, that's
that's the
offensive
problem. Mm-hmm. So she came forward, and she's going to, they say that you can donate more money to the Federal Reserve when you do your tax return.
Sure.
You could give them more money if you want. I have never heard anybody actually doing that. Do you?
No, because the point is taxes can't be voluntary. We can't just say a few wealthy people, sure, Warren Buffett could give away all his money.
Right. It's still,
right? And it might help a little bit for 1 year.
Right.
But the reality is we need the tax laws to be revised so that upper income people, we're taxing at some of the lowest rates it's
yes,
been in a long
right,
time.
So
we need to change that.
Do you get a lot of feedback from, and I'm not talking about positive feedback, I'm talking negative feedback from the people who absolutely are adverse to paying more taxes? You must get a lot of crap from people.
There, occasionally we'll get an email here or there, or if, people find something where they can write their comments online.
Yes.
People are much more willing to write something
right,
anonymously online.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But, I think the reality is no one likes taxes, but everyone likes the stuff that taxes pay for.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask people, do they want their taxes to be lower, they'll say, yes, I do. I'm sick of paying taxes, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We have people who are standing up and saying, I'm wealthy, and it's time for me to pay more taxes.
It's hard for me to fathom that. I have never met anybody who actually said that.
Well,
I'm just telling my personal.
I mean, that's what our members do,
you,
and we're doing it particularly during tax season now. And
yes, and I believe you, and I just have a hard time. I don't come across those people. I've never come across anybody who said, I really want to pay more taxes. I've heard it, theoretically, and I've heard it like in Washington and maybe in Disney, but in New York City and on Wall Street, they don't talk that talk. It's just an interesting conversation. So,
sure,
Mike,
it turns a lot of heads, for
sure. We're going to wrap up here, but I just want you to tell everybody the exact name of your book and how they can get your book and read this book and continue the conversation.
Sure. It's called The Self-Made Myth, and it's from Barrett Kohler Publishers, and you can get it online at any of the online,
Amazon,
booksellers,
uh-huh,
Amazon, Barnes & Noble,
uh-huh,
those folks, and you can also get it in Kindle,
okay,
and you can check it out at selfmademyth.org.
Okay, that's the name of your organization.
selfmademyth.org is the book page, or you go to faireconomy.org or responsiblewealth.org, whatever you can remember the easiest. We'll get you all to the same place.
We'll put it on the website, so anybody who's going to tune into Flash Talks Cash on the website will see your book. And I want to thank Mike Latham for coming over today on the line and sharing this interesting conversation with us. Thanks, Mike.
My pleasure, Joanne. Anytime.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.